ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमं ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनश्रृण्वन्नोतिभिस्सेदसादनम् शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरिः ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम सो लास्ट क्लास वी हैड इंट्रोडक्शन टू द मांडुक्य उपनिषद सो दिस fourth chapter is entitled as Alatha Shanti Prakaranam. Why it is known as Alatha Shanti Prakaranam? The chapter is named after the word used in this chapter. Alatha Shantihi is an expression used in this fourth chapter. Gaudapada Acharya uses the word Alataha. Alatam, Alataha means a firebrand, a stick with a glowing tip, like an incense stick, is called Alataha. So that Alatam is used here as an example to establish the non-duality of the reality. So because he is used as an example, the very whole chapter is That word comes in this chapter. The chapter is known as Alatha Shanti Prakaranam. That's all. And here I said this mainly, all the three chapters are mainly for Shravanam. And this last chapter is for Mananam. Mananam is for clearing one's understanding, by removing all the doubts. So as we saw last class, that these the Dasha Darshanani, 10 systems of philosophy. You know, each system of philosophy is what called Darshanam. Why? Because Darshanam means, literally it means seeing, viewing, is Darshanam. Now Pashyati means sees, the verb. What is the noun form of the Pashyati? Darshanam means viewing, seeing. So, viewing of different people, the views of different people. So, each, the darshanam, the view of, each view of a given mind, isn't it, is called what? A system of philosophy. The tenth, and then of them, the six of them are Nastika Darshanani, those who do not believe Shastram, Veda as a Pramanam. And there are Astika Darshanani, the four systems of philosophy, and which accept Veda is a Pramanam. But even though these people, the Nastikas, accept Veda at all, they do not accept Veda at all. But what do they accept then? How do they prove? They use only logics, Tarka, as they depend only purely on Tarka to establish their views, contentions. And about of them we saw how Jaina, Charvaka and four branches of the Buddhism, all of them belong to this Nastika Darshanani. They purely depend on Tarka. Whereas these other four people who are called Astikaha, even they are also Tarkikaha only. What is Tarkikaha means what? Vaidikaha, Tarkikaha. Vaidikaha means those who take Veda purely as the main pramanam, but those who take logic tarka as subservient to Veda. Whereas tarkikaha are the people who take tarka as the main means, but they take Veda as the subservient to the tarka. They take the Veda as support to establish what their view based on the logics. Isn't it? They are called tarkikaha. So tarkikaha, the one who is given to predominantly Tarka as a means of knowledge, having Veda as a subservient, supportive, thing for establishing their views is called Tarkikaha. The logician. In Sanskritam, what do you call him? Tarkikaha. So, those who take Veda as the primary means of knowledge and they use Tarka, subservient to Veda, they are called Vaidikaha. Vaidikaha. So, Vaidikaha, Tarkikaha. Know the names. And here, I said, most powerful people are this Sankhya, the Sankhya philosopher, and also Nayayikaha, I mean the Nyaya philosopher. The Sankhya Matam was propounded by Kapila Munihi. Kapila means the two Kapilas. One Kapilaha, who is known in Srimad Bhagavatam, is an Advaiti. We should not mistake that Kapila for this Kapila. The Kapila Munihi, who's said to be the avatara, who's discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, should not be mistaken here. This Kapila Munihi is different. The propounder of this Sankhya philosophy. Then we have Nyaya Matam. Nyaya Matam. Matam means what? A view, a contention. Nyaya Matam. That is why Samayam, if we say, it becomes a view, contention. Saiva Samayam means what? A view, Matam. Saiva Matam. Vedanta Mat is not Matam at all. Okay? It's not a Matam. Hindu Matam is not a Matam. Okay? It's a fact. Matam means a view, a contention, subject to differ from person to person. A fact is not a matam. Understand? Therefore, here we say this Jaina matam, not Jaina matam, sorry, here Nyaya matam, and then propounded by, we have this, Patanjalihi propounder is the propounder of the Yoga matam. Then we have Nyaya matam, Kanadarishihi, Kanadaha. Then we have Vaiseshika matam, Gautama Munihi. So we have these four, also these propounders of these four different matams, four different systems of philosophy. We have them. And here, now Gaudapada Acharya has to negate all their views, pointing out their fallacies and deficiencies, here, defects there. In fact, we are going to see the limitation of logic. We are going to understand, we are going to see how he is going to use the logic to prove the defect in the logic. The limitation of the logic. Logically, he will prove the logic being, isn't it, defective.
Illogical.
Isn't it? So we'll see that now. Anyway, before we go there, let's go to the verse number 1. As I said, last class we just started. And please see this class will continue definitely. Don't miss the class, okay? Next week I'll see you definitely. We saw the first karika of the fourth chapter, and the second karika. These two karikas actually are benedictory verses wherein the acharya offers his salutations to Bhagavan in the form of the Guruhu himself. And here the Adi Guruhu, the foremost of the lineage of teachers, is another than Bhagavan Narayana himself, the Lord himself. So that's what we saw in the last class. Let us see the verse now. Gyanena, we are coming to today's class, okay? Gyanena kasha kalpena.
Gyanena kasha kalpena.
धर्मान् यो गगनोपमान् ज्ञेया भिन्नेन सम्बुद्धः तं वन्दे द्विपदां वरम् ज्ञेया भिन्नेन सम्बुद्धः तं वन्दे द्विपदां वरम् Want to chat? You don't want to split it. You can say, "Gaya bhinnena sambuddhas tam vande dvipadam varam."
Gaya
bhinnena sambuddhas tam vande dvipadam varam. I already told the meaning last class. I explained very clearly. I don't want to get into the thing, but still, I want to tell the word meanings today. We'll get at least syntactical order of this verse, though not grammatical order, because it's too much for you to understand the grammatical order of this verse. Syntactically, order we can understand. Okay. See, Vande means I bow to. I bow to whom? He says, I bow to the Lord. Who is the Lord here? The Lord who is the home of the teacher. So, Varaha means exalted. Uttamaha. And then Dipad means two-legged, a human being. So Dipadam Varam means Purushanam Uttamaha, Purushottamaha. Purushottamaha is the synonym of the word. Purushottamaha you come across in Bhagavad Gita quite often. No? Purushottamaha, Purushottamaha, Arjuna calls Krishna. So Purushottamaha is the equivalent of the word Dipadam Varaha. So, exalted of men, exalted among men. So, oh Lord, I bow to the Lord. Okay? And who is this Lord? No, I bow to that Lord. Tam vande dipadam varam. Who is? Gneya abhinnena sambuddhaha. Sambuddhaha means, sambuddhaha means one who has clear vision. Isn't it? The one, the teacher is the one who has a clear vision. Sam Buddhaha. Buddhaha itself means what? One who has the vision. Sam Buddhaha, one who has clear, doubt-free vision, ascertained vision, Sam Buddhaha. What vision does he have? Any jnani should have which vision? The vision of the oneness of the truth, of the microcosm and the macrocosm, isn't it? One who has the jiva, ishvara, Swarupa Aikya Jnanam is the Jnani here. Whereas here, the teacher who happens to be the Lord himself, so he says, the Lord who is endowed with this knowledge of the Paramatma being identical with all the Jivatmas. Isn't it? One who has this Jivatma Paramatma Swarupa Aikya Jnanam. That Lord I bow to. That is the teacher who is, and then the Lord who is endowed with this vision of the oneness of the truth of the whole. Therefore, and for him, the uniqueness of this wisdom is, I to explain to you very clearly, this the any knowledge, that is paravidya, there are two types of knowledge, paravidya, aparavidya. The knowledge of anything within the realm of the matter is what? Aparavidya. Isn't it? The knowledge of the very reality is what? Paravidya. So, aparavidya, in attaining any aparavidya, knowledge of anything within the realm of the matter, the aparavidya, the knower known knowledge difference will not be resolved. The knower known knowledge, the subject of knowledge, instrument of knowledge, object of knowledge, this difference will continue to be there, this will not resolve. Whereas uniqueness of paravidya is that the knower known knowledge difference will resolve. I spent a lot of time last class. Isn't it? Don't need to go to that now. That's why I finished already. That will resolve. and the one who has that unique knowledge. So I bow to the Lord, who is Namah, the teacher, who has this Jivatma Paramatma Swarupa Aikya Jnanam, which is the unique knowledge wherein the subject, object, the instrument difference is resolved. And also, therefore, one who he is what now? Then the what is this here? The subject of knowledge also is Akashakalpaha, is it? The pure consciousness, which is all pervasive like the space. And the object of knowledge also is the consciousness, which is similar to space. And also the instrument of knowledge also is what now? Nothing but the consciousness, which is like the space. So space-like consciousness is the swarupam of the knower. Space-like consciousness is the swarupam of the known. The space-like consciousness is the swarupam of the knowledge also. Okay, therefore, one who has this vision of this oneness of the truth of the knower, known knowledge, wherein all this difference resolves. This is the first verse. It's okay? And go to the second verse. Is there any doubt in the first verse? But hereafter I am going to make you all, because we're going to negate the different views, I'm going to make you all understand this verse very correctly. But here, the language is a little difficult for people who do not know Sanskritam. That's why I'm not going into the details of the words. Okay? But I have given everything what you need to know from this verse. You have not missed anything. He used to say, Gaganam Akashaha. Akashaha means space. Gaganam also means space. And the word dharmaha here means jivaha, individual. Let's go to the next verse now. Now, as I said, the second verse also is a benedictory verse. In this verse, the Acharya bows to the very Shastram. His salutations are offered to the very scripture. Do you remember in Bhagavad Gita, when you take the first verse, we offer salutations to Bhagavad Gita book itself. And we say, there we see Bhagavad Gita as the Mata, mother. Why? Because the subject matter of the Bhagavad Gita happens to be the subject matter of the very Shastram, Veda Shastram. And the Veda happens to be known as Shruti Mata. And Bhagavad Gita is also looked upon as another Shruti Mata. It's a Mata mother. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, Amba Bhagavad Gita, Vande, Sandadhami. Like we pray our salutations to Bhagavad Gita. So here also in the same way, in fact, in salutations are presented to Bhagavad Gita there based on this only. Understand? Here, Acharya pays his respects to the very Shastram itself. What does he say? Let us see here now. Asparsha yogo vainama, asparsha yogo vainama, sarva sattva sukho hitaha,
sarva sattva sukho hitaha,
avivado viruddhascha,
avivado viruddhascha,
deshitastam namamyaham,
deshitastam namamyaham.
We have to remember one more thing. Salutations to the Shastram, Vedanta Shastram, is actually salutations to the content of the Shastram. And the content of the Shastram is what? Brahma Vidya. Isn't it? Salutations to, here salutations or prostrations are offered unto the very knowledge of the reality. Knowledge is bowed to here. He says, Tam namami aham. Simple sentence, you'll all understand. Aham, subject. I, namami, first person, singular, present tense, verb. I bow to. Whom? Tam. I bow to that. I bow to him. I bow to that. Aham tam namami. Isn't it? So why tam here used? Because tam here is the masculine gender word as a tam. Aham tam namami. What do we worship, bow to here? He says, asparsha yogaha. Tam asparsha yogam namami. Here, asparshaha means atma. Atma or Brahman, the absolute reality, the vastu, the ultimate truth, is implied by these words, atma and Brahma, is known by different word here, asparshaha. Asparshaha is equal to atma or Brahman. And the word yogaha means knowledge here. So asparsha yogaha means knowledge of the atma, knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of reality. So here Brahma Vidya is glorified here. I bow to Brahma Vidya, which is of this glorifications. So what is this? Asparsha yogaha is one of the expressions which glorify the Brahma Vidya. How is it glorified here? Not, there's no flattery here. What understanding what Brahma Vidya is? Why Atma is called Atma? Brahman is known by the word Asparshaha. Sparshaha, Sparshaha means a touch, contact. Is it? Asparshaha means non, isn't it? Because the Asparshaha implies Atma, Brahman, the consciousness, the pure consciousness being the reality, and this reality being the truth of the knower, known, and the knowledge. It is free from all three limitations: time limitation, spatial limitation, object limitation. See, now we don't explain. All finished. Taittiriyam. Okay. Now we only straightway say what? Being free from time limitation, spatial limitation, object limitation. Desha, kala, vastu, aparichinnam vastu, isn't it? Asparshaha. And it is not being available for perception, not being available for objectification, isn't it? Being the very truth of the knower, known, and knowledge, isn't it? And it is free from any relation. Relationless, sambandha rahitam. What connection does it have with anything? What association does consciousness have with anything? Is it? There may be two. Only then one can have connection with the other. Isn't it? It has no connection. Because reality being the only reality, non-dual, secondless reality, it cannot have any sambandha. Therefore, it's called what now? Asparshaha. Asparshaha means the relationless, connectionless, associationless, timeless, spatially limitless, object-wise limitless, the truth of the knower, known knowledge, all the difference-free reality is called what? Asparshaha. And asparsha yogaha is knowledge. This knowledge is of the atma, asparsha yogaha. Asparsha yogo vai nama. Nama means known as, isn't it? This Brahma Vidya known as Asparsha Yogaha. Then next word he says. When does consciousness have any connection? Never. Isn't it? Therefore he says Asparsha Yogaha. And Sarva Sattva Sukaha is the second glorification. Sarva Sattva Sukaha. Here, Sarva means all. Sattvam means actually all the beings, all the human beings also. And then Sukaha. Sarva Sattva Sukaha. Sarva Sattva Sukaha means that which is the sarva sattva sukha pradaha. The word sarva means all. Sattvam stands for all the human beings, all the beings. Okay? And the sukha means the happiness, the fullness. And I had added pradaha also. Sarva sattva sukha means sarva sattva sukha pradaha. means the only source of happiness. We think, no, the only source of happiness is what? What is the only source of happiness? Is there anything which is a source of happiness in this world? We still can't believe, no? Nothing in the world is a source of happiness. That is what about any different degrees of joy we experience? No, pleasure, joy, happiness. Any degree of pleasure one experiences in life, and that pleasure is also what now? Manifestation of fraction of fullness only. Any amount of joy one experiences also, enjoys also, that's also what? Manifestation of fraction of fullness only. Which means any object in the world is only an instrument. But really speaking, no object in this world is source of happiness. This we have to remember again and again and again. It's a fact. Whether we like it or not, the bitter truth is what? There's no object in this world is a source of happiness. Sukha hetuhu, there's not at all. What is only sukha hetuhu? Sarva sattva sukha pradaha sarva sukha pram is what now? The only source of happiness is the reality. And the knowledge of the reality is the really big, no, is the alone blesses one with happiness, fullness. Isn't it? So, sarva sattva sukaha. Then we say, it is knowledge alone will bless one with happiness and everything else. What about anything else we say? We have to remember, if at all we have some pleasure, anything else involves what now? Pain. In gaining anything, there's a pain involved. In preserving anything, there's a pain involved. In gaining pleasure, pain is involved. In preserving the pleasure also, what? Retaining it also, there's a pain involved. In losing, there's a greater pain. Isn't it? Arjane dukkham, rakshane dukkham, nashe dukkataram, ati dukkham. Therefore, in everything else in this world, if at all there is any object, if we think, object is a source of pleasure for me, again, object of pleasure if we think, in attaining it, in retaining it, in preserving it, in losing, there is a greater pain, a greater sorrow. Therefore, there is no real source of happiness, is not there at all. The only source of happiness is Atma. Therefore, Atma Jnanam is the only source of happiness. Only means of attainment of the happiness which is already there. Then hitaha, now third word, so third. The third is what? Hitaha. Hitaha means, you know, it is good for, it's always desirable, acceptable, good for everybody. You know, in Bhagavad Gita, we use this word. Shreyas. Remember now? Shreyas. Shreyas means what? Absolute good. Praise is relative good. It's not bad. Nothing is bad, isn't it? Ultimate good, relative good. What is ultimate good, absolute good? That which is good for all the people, desirable, good for all the people, of all times, everywhere. Sarveshu kaleshu, sarvesha manushyanam, sarvatra. No, what is desirable? What is it which brings auspiciousness? Ella kalangalum, ella idathilum, ellorukkum mangalathe nalguvathu. Is it that which brings auspiciousness to all the people of all times, everywhere? Is it irrespective of what one's culture is, which nationality one belongs to, you know, whatever what the person is? That is what now? Hitaha. Isn't it true? It is the knowledge. It is the knowledge of the truth. It is the knowledge of the self. It is the knowledge of the reality. ఇట్ ఈస్ ది అస్పర్శ యోగ ఆత్మ జ్ఞానం బ్రహ్మ జ్ఞానం విచ్ ఈస్ ది ఓన్లీ హితం. హితం ఈజ్ వాట్ ది బెస్ట్ ఓవర్ ఆఫ్ ఆస్పీషియస్నెస్ టు ఆల్ ది పీపుల్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ టైమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ప్లేసెస్. Listen, hitaha. Why hitaha? Not hitam. Because atma jnanam, if we said it would have been what now? Hitam. Because asparsha yogaha, masculine gender word. Therefore, other word also in it's in masculine gender word. Okay? So hitaha. Now, three words are over. Asparsha yogaha, sarvasattva sukaha, hitaha. This Brahma Vidya, the knowledge of the reality, which is said to be the known as Asparsha Yogaha, which is the Sarvasattva Sukaha, and which is the Hitaha. Have got the meaning now? You have to remember all the three words. How Atma Vidya is glorified here. Understand? Now next, interesting things are coming up. Three are over now. Or you can say five descriptions of Asparsha Yoga. Avivadaha. Avivadaha is the third glorification of the Asparsha Yogaha. Avivadaha. Then Aviruddaha. We have two more words, three more words here. Avivadaha, Aviruddaha, Deshitaha. Three more words, there are five words, five glorifications, isn't it, no? Of one self-knowledge called Asparsha Yogaha. Atma Jnanam, Brahma Jnanam, the knowledge of the reality known as Asparsha Yogaha is of this glories. Now five words, no? Present the glories of the Brahma Vidya. Two are over. Then now, what is the third one now? Avivadaha. See, Vivadaha means argument. Isn't it? This argumentation. And here, this jnanam, this asparsha yogaha is free from any argument. Why? Because it is, it can be part of the argument only if it contradicts anything, isn't it? Avivadaha, because if Vedanta is not available, cannot be proved, this knowledge cannot be proved logically, nor can it be disproved. Therefore, it is neither logical nor illogical. Is Vedanta logical? No. Why? It cannot be proved logically. And can it be disproved logically? Isn't it? Neither provable nor disprovable. Therefore, it's neither illogical nor logical. It is beyond logical. In Swami Chinmayananda's words, it's translogical. Isn't it? Therefore, is what now? Avivadaha. Because completely it's a different avivadaha. Avivadaha. Is it clear? That's very important. We have to remember. That is why we don't need to prove using logics. When people try to prove how Vedanta's vision is incorrect. What is Vedantic vision? There is no creation. Look at it. Very simple thing. There is no creation. The final thing. There is no creation at all. Because we break our heads to understand why there is creation, how the creation has come into existence, where has come into existence, what is the cause of the creation, and how the creation has come into existence. Isn't it? All these questions are there, mind-boggling questions. And people have been trying to find the answer for all these questions. With so many people, there are more than 30 theories available already. Okay? Again, some many theories are available, and the modern science also is trying to establish this. So, which means, and Vedanta says, why do you break your head knowing where the creation is, how the creation has come into existence, etc. When there is no creation at all, there is no creation. Then what is there then? There is only Brahman. What is creation then? Creation is only a confusion. It's only ignorance. Ignorance solidified is what? Creation. Understand? There is no creation. There is only Brahma. Only manifestation of what was Brahma, what is Brahma. See, we have not entered into the text, okay? You will see, very interesting. It's only introduction. Then what is going to be is also what now? What will ever be is Brahma. Brahman was, Brahman is, Brahman will ever be. And it's only manifestation of the pure knowledge. There's no creation. Therefore, when this is what Vedanta says, so how can Vedanta touch, isn't it? It cannot be disproved to be wrong. God can be proved to be right also through logics. That is why it's neither logical nor illogical. It is beyond logic. Even you say what now? Avivadaha. It's not available for, not within the scope of any argument, not available for any, isn't it? Arguments also. Avivadaha. This is the uniqueness of Vedanta again. You see, so this is the third glory of the Asparsha Yogaha. Now what is the fourth glory? Aviruddhaha. Is very interesting. So aviruddhaha means, viruddhaha means opposed, isn't it? Contradictory. Aviruddhaha means non-contradictory. Vedanta, see, the Vedanta, aviruddhaha, why? Because Asparsha Yogaha, the knowledge of the absolute reality is non-contradictory, because the knowledge of the reality means Paramarthikam Satyam, where any Vyavaharika Satyam rests. Is it? Any relative reality, knowledge of the, any relatively real knowledge, empirically real knowledge rests upon the absolute reality. Isn't it? So absolute reality accommodates all other views. It can accommodate all other views from their own standpoints. Isn't it? Therefore, Vedanta, this Atmajnanam is non-contradictory knowledge. Does not contradict any other knowledge, any other view. Doesn't contradict. I'll explain to you why. For example, you know, therefore friendly with all the disciplines. Accommodative, friendly with all disciplines. Doesn't contradict. What does it mean? See, every school of philosophy, every system of philosophy has its own theory of creation. Listen to me. How Atmajnanam is non-contradictory knowledge. Every system of philosophy holds onto its own theory of creation. Isn't it? See, now the cosmology has been there in India, the discussion, even before BC. And before BC they finished. They negate all the views. Come out, say there's no creation. Understand? Here in the West, when started thinking about the theory of creations. So each philosopher has his own theory of philosophy. Sankhya's theory of theory of creation. Nayayika's theory of creation. Each system of philosophy has its own theory of creation. And what the beauty is, all of them mutually negate each other. All of them quarrel, fight, then mutually dismiss each other, destroy each other. It's called Yadaviya Kalahaha. Yadaviya Kalahaha means people of many views, you know, then arguing with each other and showing the defects in each other's views and dismissing and destroying each other is called what now? Yadaviya Kalahaha. So Vedanta does not need to do anything to destroy others. They quarrel each other, they argue with each other, they show their own defects in each other, isn't it? Mutually, then they dismiss and negate each other. I'm not destroying, they dismiss and negate each other. So Nyaya philosopher knows how to dismiss and negate Sankhya, and Sankhya knows how to dismiss all other views. And Bauddha knows how to dismiss all of them. Therefore, they all dismiss each other and negate each other. Each one has one's own theory of creation. How the creation has come into existence. They're all cosmologists. Understand now? Then Vedantin has to keep quiet and look, wait. Does he contradict? Why Vedanta does not contradict? Because Vedanta does not have one of its own. Vedanta does not have a theory of creation at all. If Vedanta also has one theory of creation, what would have become? Vedanta's theory of creation, Vedanta's model of the creation. Come on. The theory of creation, Vedanta doesn't have one. Therefore, he doesn't need to argue with anybody, isn't it? Doesn't contradict anybody. Your theory of creation, because I have no theory of creation. If I have my own creation, I have to come and prove mine is correct, yours is wrong, I have to say. So I have no controversy, understand? Even no contradiction. So Vedanta does not have theory of creation of its own. Therefore, Vedanta does not contradict with any other theory of creation. Got the point? Then, why Vedanta does not have theory of creation? Because Vedanta does not believe, accept creation. According to Vedanta, there is no creation. Only if I say there is creation, and if the creation is real, then I have to establish how creation is real. How creation is, how it would have come into existence, isn't it? In the vision of Vedanta, there is no creation at all. Got it? That is why Vedanta is what now? Non-contradictory. The Vedantic final vision, the absolute knowledge of the absolute reality, known as Asparsha Yogaha, is also what? Aviruddha, non-contradictory knowledge. It accommodates all theories. You know why? That is why a Vedanti, but does Vedanta, if at all Vedanta accepts creation, it only accepts temporarily, finally to negate it. So accept the theories of creation is used initially to later on negate the creation. Understand what I'm saying? Through Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya, Vedanta can accept any theory of creation and finally he can say what? There is no creation. The theories of creation is only temporarily accepted finally to negate the theory of creation. In Tamil, there's some saying, when some guests comes, okay, and we have to put leaves, banana leaves for them to eat. And the person comes, we tell that person, come on, don't sit on the row of the leaves. Put the leaves, don't sit, please wait. The person is asked not to sit and he says, there's a hole on the leaf. What does it mean? When you are not allowed to sit at all, Why do you say there is a hole in the leaf? Panktile ukkana ela ottanna. Got idea? Which means there is no, when you say there is no creation at all, then why is this question? It's a question of establishing how the creation come into existence. That is why Vedanta is what now? All friendly. All friendly means what? It's a non-contradictory. Advaitam, it's a Visishta Advaitam, Vedanta, this Advaita Jnanam, Atma Jnanam can accommodate what? All schools of thought. From their own standpoint. Accommodate all schools of thought from their own standpoint, but relatively. We don't deny. That is why all cultures have been also seen as what now? Relatively, everything is seen as one order of manifestation of Ishvara. Everything. This is what is mistaken by people, all paths lead to the same goal. No. All paths are accommodated, you know, can be accommodated in the vision of the absolute reality. Any aparavidya rests upon param brahma, paravidya. Isn't it true? Nothing is outside of the ultimate, isn't it? That is why it's what aviruddha, non-contradictory. Okay, we are going to see next verse, okay? Anyway, we'll read it. Then, deshitaha. Deshitaha means, this Atma Vidya, Atma Jnanam, is never, never, never attained independently by independent study. Deshitaha means, the teacher is called Deshikaha, director. Deshitaha means taught. Paravidya is always attainable through what now? With the help of the teacher. It has to be unfolded, to be studied, attained with the help of the teacher alone. Independent study of the Shastram, independently by one's own study of the Shastram, this knowledge cannot be attained. So the knowledge which is attainable with the help of the teacher, or through unfoldment of the, unfoldment by the teacher, is called what? It is implied by the word Deshitaha. How do you attain this knowledge? This is the, again, another next glory of the Brahma Vidya. Deshitaha, five words now, can remember now. Asparsha Yogaha is another word for Atma Jnanam. Or Brahma Vidya, and this Atma, that which is said to be the knowledge of the absolute reality, is what now the only source of happiness, Sarva Sattva Sukha, Hitaha, the only bestower of auspiciousness of for all the people of all times, every all places, Avivadaha, is it? It is free from all arguments. Why? Because it cannot be disproved logically, nor can be proved, isn't it, logically. Therefore, it's neither logical nor illogical. It's beyond logic. Therefore, it's called what now? Beyond tarka. Therefore, it is avivadaha. And because the Vedanta is, the Atma Jnanam is non-contradictory knowledge, because it doesn't have theory of creation of its own. Listen now, the knowledge attained through study of the Vedanta Shastram, and which doesn't have the theory of creation at all, in Atma Jnanam, in the knowledge, the wake of the knowledge of the reality, you will discover this most abstract fact of creation being not there. Therefore, the non-contradictory knowledge, because it accommodates any theory of creation and accepting it from its own standpoint, relatively, absolutely, and it negates all the theories of creation. When they mutually negate each other, and finally will say, they have to say what now? There's no creation. Finally, you have to come to the conclusion, there's no creation. all the theories of creation get negated by mutually by all of them, then finally that means what? There is no creation. When the Vedantin can get in there, yes, that is what we've been telling. Okay? That is the thing. That's why that is the greatness of the knowledge. And such Brahma Vidya Asparsha Yogaha, such is Tam Aham Namami. I bow to that knowledge. Tam Asparsha Yogam Aham Namami. I bow to such great knowledge of such glories. Got the meaning now? Okay. With these two verses, now the salutations to the teacher and the knowledge are over. The verses are over. The third verse onwards. Let me see. The third, fourth and fifth. These three karikas, you know, Gaudapacharya is introducing the first, the how these philosophers negate each other. He's going to say that. It was introduction only, this is only. See now, before we enter into the verses, let me tell you, there are so many theories of creation, isn't it? And some of them hold on to this view. What is that? The question is, did the creation exist before it evolved? Did the universe exist before it evolved? Or otherwise you can say, the existent thing, already existent thing came into existence, or from non-existent thing came into existence. The creation exists before or not? Has it come into existence from something or nothing? This is the main question, isn't it? So there's so many theories of all of them. That they're the most important, the powerful theories. The two theories we had to take first. One is called Satkaryavadaha. Satkaryavadaha is the theory of creation proponed by Sankhya philosopher, the Kapila Munihi. Satkaryavadaha. Satkaryavadaha, according to him, the creation was there already. Jagat universe was there already. Okay? It was all there already. We are going to understand elaborately later on. But now only introduction. It was already there. Already existent universe alone has what now? It was unmanifest before. Has become manifest now, has appeared now. He is very close to Advaitam, but not, still he is wrong. Go ahead to understand. Which means the universe already existed. And later on, it has become manifest, appeared. Called Satkaryavadaha. There was matter before, and that matter was, well, how was this Jagat now? All these features, all these functions, Nama, Rupa, Karma, name, form, purpose and function, all of them remain undifferentiated, unmanifest, okay? They all remained. They were latent and dormant in the very matter. And that condition of is called what? Karana avastha, causal state of the matter. And later on, and he calls it what now? This is called causal state. Then when this, the Nama Rupa Karma, name, form and function becomes manifest, is called what now? From that condition, only what was there continues to exist later on. between the karyam and the karanam, between the cause and the effect, there is no difference in substance. Vastu bedaha nasti. But avastha bedaha asti. There's difference only in what now? State. It's called karya avastha. He calls it karya avastha. Effect state and causal state. Karana avastha and karya avastha. What is cause and what is effect? In causal condition, the nama rupa, nama rupam karma. Name, form and function, the features, they all remain dormant. When they become manifest, isn't it? It is called karya avastha, is an effect state. Only difference is the substance is the same. Look at this. Very close, isn't it? Substance is the same. The same matter continues to exist in effect also. The difference is only in what now? Avastha, condition. Avastha bedaha. Difference is only in the avastha, the state, but not in substantial difference is not there. But, isn't it? The conditional difference is there. These are the two, he says, which means it has already existed. Nothing is new here. Very close to what now modern science also says. What does it say? Matter is not created, matter cannot be destroyed. That is fine. It's called Satkarya Vadaha. The universe already existed. What is the word used in Sanskritam? Sat. Sat means what? Already existed. Sat karya vadaha. Which means still he believes what? There is creation. The universe was already there, name of a causal matter, and it is evolved into this manifest universe. Is this the creation? Is this theory of creation? We are going to see elaborate later on, but now understand this much. Then what other one? Other one is Asatkarya Vadaha. Asatkarya Vadaha means there was no, this exist, the universe which is existent now was not there before. Okay? And then it has come into existence. From a non-existent matter, this universe has originated. This is Asatkarya Vadaha. Existent universe has, what do you think? All existent universe has come into being, or a non-existent universe has come into being. The simple questions. Understand? Hatkarya Vadi says, already existent universe alone has come into being. Asatkarya Vadi says, the non-existent universe has come into being.
What Muni says that?
Kanada. Gautamaha and Kanadaha. One is called, first, it's called Asatkarya Vadaha. So the Satkarya Vadi is called what now? Is the Sankhya Satkarya Vadi. Asatkarya Vadi is the Nyaya philosopher, Kanadaha. Okay, Sankhya philosopher, Nyaya philosopher. Is it clear now? Now, first of all, I'm introducing only today. Isn't it? We will understand elaborately later on. And finally, you have to say what now? Isn't it? You have to remember that. Satkarya Vadaha is Sankhya's view of creation. Asatkarya Vadaha is the Nyaya philosopher's view of the creation, theory of creation. Now, what is our Vada? There is no Vada at all. But Ajati Vadaha. There is no creation. What do we have to say? We means what? We call ourselves, isn't it? Vedantins. Therefore, Vedanta Shastram says what? There is no creation. The vision negating the creation is called what? Ajati Vadaha. There is no creation at all. And how do we know? We have to remember the third chapter, we understood very clearly how the negation of the creation of the jiva, you know, logically, We also read negation of the creation of the Jagat logically. We also negated the Jiva Srishti and Jagat Srishti with the support of the Shruti also. Remember now? I said four, how he uses, he negates the Jiva Srishti and Jagat Srishti. So, Shrutya, Yuktya, Jiva Srishti Nishedaha. Shrutya, Yuktya, Jagat Srishti Nishedaha. Remember that? Negation of the creation of the Jiva, negation of the creation of the Jagat, logically, and also support of the Shruti. We had it very clearly in the third chapter. Because I am doing the class after a long time, I also come back, you know. That's called what? Ajati Vadaha. At least remember this word, Shrutya, Jiva Srishti Nishedaha, Yuktya, Jiva Srishti Nishedaha, Yuktya, Jagat Srishti Nishedaha. Negation of the creation of the Jivaha and Jagat, logically and also support of the Shruti. We had it in third chapter. Therefore, Ajati Vadaha means there is no creation at all when you say, negate the very creation, and where is the question of talking about how the creation has come into existence, or why the creation has come into existence, and why Lord has created this, why Lord has created this universe. Will you ask all these questions then? Why Bhagavan is so partial? Isn't it? Why has he created this? And why has he created me also here? Why I... All these questions will be meaningless. Don't need... These questions will resolve. Will you break your head after hearing there's no creation? Understand the fact there's no creation. And will you break your head to answer the questions? Is it clear now? That is Vedanta. That is why here, Ajati Vadaha. No? So here he is going to say that now first. Very quickly he finishes. Bhutasya Jati Michi. The third verse now, third Karika. Bhutasya Jati Michanti.
Bhutasya Jati Michanti.
Vadinah. He just introduces three Vadas. Bhutasya Jati Michanti.
Bhutasya Jati Michanti.
Vadinah Kechi Devahi.
Vadinah Kechi Devahi.
Abhutasyaparo Dhiraha. Abhutasyapare Dhiraha.
Abhutasyapare
Vivadantah Parasparam.
Vivadantah Parasparam.
See, Bhutasya Jatim Ichanti Kechid Vadinaha. Kechid Vadinaha means some philosophers. Some philosopher means what now? People who follow Sankhya. The first line talks about the Sankhya philosopher. Second line talks about the Nyaya philosopher. Okay? Kechid Vadinaha means some people who follow Sankhya philosophy, they say what now they like means what now? Ichchanti means they like. They go by this view that creation is what now? Bhutasya Jati. Bhuta means what now? The creation is of something which was already there. Creation is of something which is already there. Bhutasya means which was already there. Jatihi here means origination, creation. You should not take it as a caste or... No, people don't know something very easy. Jati means people take it as a caste or something. No. It is not the birth also. Here it means origination, creation. So the first line talks about the Satkarya Vadinaha. Satkarya Vadinaha or the people who follow Sankhya philosophy, and according to them, the creation existed already, okay, in the form of the original matter. Therefore, what now? The universe is something which evolved from what already existed. Bhutasya eva jatim icchanti kechid vadinaha. Okay, next line. See the next line now. Abhutasya pare dhiraha.
Abhutasya pare dhiraha.
Apare dhiraha. See, dhiraha literally means wise person. Okay. But here apare dhiraha means some other thinkers. Okay. Dhiraha means the politely expressed with reverence. Okay. What now? Apare dhiraha. Other thinkers, they are not non-thinkers. Thinkers, okay? Right thinking, wrong thinking, non-thinking. Isn't it? So, they are not non-thinkers, but they are not absolutely right thinkers. They are okay. Okay. Therefore, apare dhiraha, other thinkers who differ from this view of Sankhya philosopher, they hold on to the view, what now? Abhutasya jatim icchanti. We have to supply that. Okay. They talk about the what now? They say this universe has come into existence from nothing, out of nothing. Which means the universe was not there before. Very simple, isn't it? How can an existent thing come into existence from non-existent thing? Isn't it? We are going to see how beautifully, we don't need to, how they mutually negate each other is going to be shown later on. Only he introduces, kechidvadinaha, some philosophers go by the view that the universe has come into existence from something which is already existent. There is a cause. And these will, Nyaya philosopher, the second one is stand for what now? Ajati, second line presents the Ajati Vadaha of Nyaya philosopher. So you don't find all the names. That's why I'm telling you here. Ajati Vadaha of, not Ajati Vadaha, Asatkarya Vadaha, sorry. Asatkarya Vadaha. First line is Satkarya Vadaha of Sankhya philosopher, Asatkarya Vada of Nyaya philosopher, isn't it? Then, Dhiraha Abhutasya Apare Jati Michanti. They talk about the creation, the universe is what now? The creation is out of nothing, they say. Evam Vivadantaha, arguing with each other. Parasparam vivadantaha, mutually, isn't it, arguing with each other, mutually they negate each other. Parasparam vivadantaha, isn't it, mutually pointing out, showing the fallacies in the views, they negate each other. Who? Satkaryavadis negate asatkaryavadis, asatkaryavadis negate satkaryavadis. So, asat means non-existent. Sat means existent. The universe is come from Sat or Asat. Isn't it? Already existed or not? This thing. Parasparam ivadantaha. Okay. The next. Bhut. But what does the Vedanti say? That is said in the next mantra. Next karika. Bhutam na. So, in fact, all these people who talk about the creation are all dvaitinaha. Okay? The dualists. We might have all of them are, sorry, how many people are there? All the dvaitins, all of them are dvaitins. That is why we have so many schools of thought. Some more can come also newly. Isn't it? They are all, Shankara says in commentary, katham dvaitinaha parasparam virudhyante iti uchyate. Now all these dvaitinaha parasparam virudhyante, they all oppose each other, they all contradict with each other, they all find, they can present the fallacies and defects in each other's views, though they can negate each other also. All those people who accept the creation are all dvaitinaha. No? That's why we don't see it only dvaita means, don't think only one person, Madhvacharyas is there. All of them are accept the advaiti. We, no? Everybody is what now? Dvaiti only. But still they are, all of them, they differ. At least now we can understand, isn't it? There is no Advaita philosopher differing from another Advaita philosopher. Whoever differs from other person is a Dvaiti. One Dvaiti can differ from other Dvaiti. Isn't it? Advaiti does not differ from Dvaiti. But Dvaiti can differ from Advaiti. It's his problem, isn't it? That's why. Now, he says, what does the Vedanta say here? What Advaitin's view here? Not a view, vision. You talk about Advaiti, you have to say view. When you come to Advaiti, you have to say vision. View and vision. What is the difference? Both words mean the same, isn't it? Actually, in English language, view and vision. But here, in vision is of the fact. View is perception from one standpoint. View is objective. There's a contention objective differ from person to person, and the fact is the same for all the people from any standpoint. That's why, what does Advaiti says? What does the Advaiti say here? Bhutam na jayate kinchit.
Bhutam na jayate kinchit.
Abhutam naiva jayate.
Abhutam naiva jayate.
Vivadanto dvaya hevam.
Vivadanto dvaya.
Ajatim khyapayanti te.
Ajatim khyapayanti te.
So these two theories of creation, the people of two theories of creation, you know, Hatkaryavada and Asatkaryavadaha, what they do, because mutually negating each other, they popularize the Ajatiwada. Even they add credit to the Ajatiwadaha. Ajatiwadaha, no creation. Isn't it? He says, Bhutam na jayate kinchit. What is already existent? What is already there need not be created, cannot be created. How can we use the term creation, isn't it, when you say something is already there? See, you are going to see the meaning of the word creation, not the dictionary meaning. You are analyzing, this is called what now? Shabdartha vichara. Logically, arriving at what does the word creation mean. Then you will say, this very expression creation is a meaningless expression. You know, the relative sense it can be used, isn't it? Because it is only confusion. As I said, ignorance solidified this creation. The bhutasya, He is asking, bhutasya, sorry, bhutam na jayate kinchit. What is already there, you cannot talk about the creation of something which is already there. What is already there cannot be created. It need not be created also. Is it true? That is the first line, first half of the first line says what now? Negates the Sankhya philosopher. Very, very brief. Later on we are going to see elaborately. Only brief first. First briefly, then later on elaborately. So, bhutam kinchit na jayate. Bhutam means what is all, that's why these words are not very, the language used by Gaudapa Acharya ji is very old language, isn't it? A little different. You better try to understand the teaching, is enough. It's like how Shakespearean English is different from the present English, isn't it? The same way, Gaudapa Acharya means who is he? Govindapada's teacher. Shankaracharya's teacher's teacher. So that's why very different. Okay? Language is okay, but the presentation is very complex language. When you don't know the language, it's difficult for you to understand. If I don't go into grammatical details, I can go, I'll finish only next month, okay? At least you get the thing. So the bhutam na kinchit, kinchit na jayate. That is negation of Sankhya philosopher's view. What is now? Hey, what do you talk about? The existent universe, has come into being. Means, the universe is already existent. Okay, when we talk about the creation of the universe is already existent. How can already existent thing be created? It cannot be created, cannot be created. Isn't it? Then second line he says, abhutam naiva jayate. How can, isn't it? Abhutam naiva jayate. Nothing can come into existence from something which does not exist at all. Verum kaila mazham podum ivana. Something cannot come into existence out of nothing. Therefore, second half negates the Nyaya philosopher's view. Then when they negate, this is not negated by Nadvaiti. Okay? They negate each other. The Nyaya philosopher says, if already universe was existent, okay, then why should it be created again? It can be created. It had been created. Therefore, you are wrong. And he'll say, come on, you are talking about something coming to existence from now, nothing. How can all the existent thing come into existence? He negates Nyaya philosopher. Understand? So, we can happily say what now? Advayaha. Okay, now, when they negate each other mutually, therefore, Advayaha hi evam ajatim te khyapayanti. Ajatim eva khyapayanti. Now people say, we don't need to make any effort to negate others' views. They themselves, negating each other, they popularize, make this ajativadaha acceptable. Ajatme khyapayanti make it popular. Khyapayanti means they make it popular. Finally, what do you have to arrive at? What do you have to say? Therefore, there is no creation. There is no creation. That is what Vedanti says now. So, the people who hold on to different theories of creation, themselves negating each other's views, they contribute for what now? Advaitin's vision of the creation being not there. Ajati meva khyapayanti means what? They popularize, they make it acceptable. What? Ajati vadaha. Jatihi means creation, ajatihi means no creation. Okay? Ajati vadaha is the vision of the Advaitin. In fact, you came across this word, what other word you came across? Avivadaha, isn't it? Avivadaha, the word avivadaha is taken separately. How Vedanta is neither logical nor illogical, how it is beyond logical, that is established in these three verses. Okay? The third, fourth and the fifth. Let me stop here. I'll give some time for me to ask questions or any doubts you have. I repeat a lot today, but still I want to get these Sanskrit terms. Because we don't have equivalent English expressions for these things. Isn't it? Even though we have some, they are not really very good. They are not very expressive. Very nice, no? Satkaryavadaha, Asatkaryavadaha, Ajativadaha. It's easy to remember, isn't it? Search for English translation. You have to read a paragraph. Isn't it? To understand what it is. So these two theories of creation are very powerful theories. So they are only discussed now. And later on, we are going to see all how his... It's only introduction, isn't it? It will start later on. Seriously start.